Everyone faces challenges, but it's how we deal with them that really matters. I'm Camille Bauer, and I'm going to help you see that life can go from bad to worse. But if you have faith and trust in the Lord and put on your big girl pants, then those hard times will help strengthen your faith, refine your character, and make you who you were destined to be. Hey, my friends, I'm so excited. You guys, for this week's episode, we have an incredible guest who is no stranger to tragedy. She has lost both her dad and her son to suicide and is on a mission to help spread suicide prevention and help bring awareness to this much needed topic. I am so honored to be able to discuss with her today. Please welcome, without further ado, the incredible Lark Dean Galley.
Hi, Camille.
Thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
And thank you. I just feel like this message is so important. And as parents, we need to know the reality of the situation. And that is my life mission right now, is just to get this message out.
That's so powerful. So for those of us who don't know your story, can you kind of walk us through maybe 5 years ago versus recent events?
Sure. So coming up on now 7 years ago, my father died by suicide, and he was bipolar. He had struggled all his life. I was not actually surprised that he died by suicide, but it still devastated me quite a bit. I went into a dark hole for 5 months. I really didn't know how my kids got fed, how I functioned, and just sort of struggled through it. And then fast forward a few years, in the city where you live, Camille, the suicide rate in the high school was astronomical. They were having copycat suicide. I think there were 16 suicides within just a few months. I had two children in high school at that time, and naive parent that I was, I said, oh, that's over there. That's not at my kid's school. That doesn't affect my family. That's not here. Even though my father had died by suicide. And that is the call I want to make out to parents, is we think that it's out there when it is really the reality. It is right in our homes, and we might not even know it. And so 19 months ago, my son, who was 19 years old, took his life completely unexpected, very devastating. And I started to go into that black hole where I had gone when my father died by suicide. And I got really close to just tipping off over the edge and going into complete darkness. And it was through other moms calling me and telling me about their concerns for their children that helped me realize that the situation wasn't about me as a parent or my son and his struggles. It was about speaking out in the hopes that one other parent didn't have to experience what my husband and I had experienced.
So you touched on in there that you didn't see it in your own home, but now looking back, what signs can we be looking for and watching out for as parents in this really crazy pandemic where mental illness and isolation is rampant?
Exactly. There are a few things. First of all, 3.5 years before my son died, he had expressed some suicidal thoughts. Took him right away to a therapist, talked with the therapist, and he went there for 2 months. And then he told me, Mom, I'm good. And unfortunately, I never even thought to have another conversation with him. How are you feeling? How's your mental wellness checkup? I just thought to myself, he says he's good, so he's good. And that is a big regret, because he had a plan of how to kill himself. And after he actually died, I talked with a therapist, and I learned that a lot of times people who are feeling depressed or sad, when we see them turn a corner and see them start to be happy, we think, oh, things are good. But in reality, they've come up with a plan, and they're just waiting for the moment when life gets too hard and they execute it. And so we need to have real conversations with our children, even our adult children, with our friends, with our family members, and ask them, you know, open-ended question. What was the best thing that happened to you today? What was the worst thing that happened to you today? Versus just, how was your day? Because then they're going to say, fine, which means nothing.
Yeah. Especially boys. They're notorious for not giving details.
Exactly.
So on that note, when did you notice from how long was the time, do you think, that he had a plan to when he executed the plan? Did you, now looking back, can you visually see the depression and then it get better? And then how long was that window?
You know, so it was 3.5 years before when he expressed it originally to when he actually died. He died in spring, which is March 2019. And something I want to point out here is that this seems so ironic. It's during the darker months, the January, February, where people, you know, December, the holidays, they get depressed, right? The dark months. But people are often feeling so depressed that they don't follow through with the suicide. The worst time is the spring because they're starting to feel a little better. And so they think, oh, I feel good enough to take my life, which is totally crazy, right?
Yeah.
totally crazy.
So it's almost like when they're low, 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 they won't, but as they pick up a little bit.
Yes. And then just some series of things, three things happened all at once within just a couple of weeks. It just seemed to depress my son. When they are young like that, their brain is not developed and they just can't see past right now. And so what happened is these things all piled up on him and he thought, oh, it's just too much. I'm just not even going to deal with it. I'm just going to check out, which is what he did. And you know, I just look at this and think, to me, it came out of the blue. And yet in retrospect, I can see now that he liked to wrestle with his father and he was become very aggressive those last couple of weeks, almost to the point where he was physically hurting my husband. You know, he was getting bigger and stronger. At the time, I couldn't really understand. You don't really see it in the moment. But as you look back, you're like, oh, you know. And so some things I would say as parents, we just need to be more of an advocate for our children, less of a dictator, more as their guide and really helping them to navigate this very crazy world. Because right now, we often say, I'll parent the way my parents parented me, right? Because they did a fine job. Yeah.
I'm
no, seriously, you say, I turned out.
Why? Because right? That's what my parents did. And that's what I'm going to do.
But we can't do that. And the reason is life is completely different. Our kids live in this society where everything they do can become public knowledge with just the push of a button. So as adults, I want us to all think back and think about like your most embarrassing moment in high school. And I think of one that was completely embarrassing. I think about 5 people knew about it. Think if your child is going through their most embarrassing moment, it's not just 5 people. It's 1,000 people or 5,000 people.
Potentially somebody could be recording it and it's up on TikTok getting a million views.
Exactly. I was just with some extended family this past weekend and their 15-year-old daughter was in lockdown for a suicide attempt. Because what had she done? You know, she had sent a couple of videos and some naked pictures to a boyfriend who then passed them around school and it had just got out. It exacerbated. She attempted suicide at school and it just spirals. And so as much as, you know, her parents talked to her, tried to talk to her about, hey, this, don't be doing that, right? They don't always think, honestly, they just don't think about the ramifications. And so we need to create an environment for our children that allows them to come to you, mom, I made a mistake. Dad, I did something stupid. And rather than like losing it, okay, what can we do? Mom, I got my girlfriend pregnant. Mom, I'm coming out of the closet. Right? How do we react to these situations? Because that could be a very real thing. Are we willing to sacrifice our child? Are we willing to sacrifice the relationship for certain beliefs and stigma that we think are there?
Yeah. So in addition to open-ended questions, what's a sign that, man, maybe we need to get my child into therapy? You know, like, where is that? Oh, that's a bad day. I think a lot of us want to live in, right, this land that it's not, like you said, it's not my house. It's just a bad day. But Can you maybe give us your advice on how many bad days or equal trying to get them intervention?
Well, so, something to think about is, you know, teenagers are already dealing with all this angst. And so we can say, well, almost any natural teenage behavior seems to fit into that. You know, they need therapy, right? So I would say, are they generally happy? Are they contributing? My son was the most sensitive child that I have. And at you know, earlier, I would kind of joke about that he was more sensitive than his sisters. That's something that we need to be really conscientious of, is that it's usually the ones who are more sensitive that take on other, they're empaths. They take on other people's emotions. They feel them very deeply. So do you have a more sensitive child? That's really important to realize and be supportive. Something that I've done, when I started talking about this, I said to myself, you know, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a counselor, I'm not a therapist, I'm just a concerned mom. What can I do? I started sharing the message. We need to be more aware, we need to be more involved. And people would come to me and say, now what do I do? Just like you're saying, what can I do? And so I started partnering with Dr. Paul Jenkins, who is a clinical therapist, and he has several courses on parenting that I love, because it's exactly what I believe. We love them no matter what, and even if they go off the deep end and they're doing things that we think are crazy, we still love them. And I love his parenting modules because it talks about ways that we can parent based on maturity level, not necessarily based on age, right? And there's always consequences, but we do it in a loving and supportive way. And so people can find the link to his courses. He and I are actually doing some suicide prevention modules, and we are going to be doing some grief modules for people who are just stuck in grief. So there's actually a tab on my website. It's called Resources at the very top there. So there's just so many different resources that I've come across over this last 19 months that I wanted to share with people who are in a space, who are grieving, who need help. So,
and your website is, we'll put that up, but it's larkdeangalley.com.
Yes. Yes. Okay. And there's a specific tab for resources for people who are wanting extra help.
Wow. Okay. That's amazing. That's incredible. I'm so, that's an untapped resource that people really need to pay attention to. So if they're at home and they're feeling that parental pull inside that something's off, mm-hmm. you recommend going to your website, then clicking on resources, mm-hmm. and then looking at the programs there that are available that give you parenting techniques.
Exactly. And there are a couple, there's an app there. If you're in Utah, it's called Safe UT app. And then there are a few other different websites, you know, for national, that different resources in there. I just felt that the different places that I had come across, that they needed to be made known. I love Dr. Jenkins there. And the reason for that is that he's positive about a very difficult topic. Parenting is hard.
So hard.
It's so hard.
And one thing you said that's been sticking in my mind is that you don't parent their age, you parent their maturity level.
Yes. Yes.
That is so powerful. Mm-hmm. Are y'all hearing that? Because that's important. Because there, it's true, having more than one child, you soon realize they're not the same and they're so different. And what works for one does not work for another.
Oh, yes.
Wow. That's an important thing to tuck away in our takeaways from today, is that we need to, I loved what you said, parent their maturity level. Does that site and those resources help guide you based upon those maturity levels?
Yes, absolutely. That's what Dr. Jenkins talks about. He's got a great program. You can try it out for $1 for a week and just see, you know, test drive everything. Then it's
$1.
Yes, $1 for the week, you know, test it out. And
come
then it's
on,
just six,
people. That's yeah. incredible.
And then his membership is $67 a month, which includes a live weekly group life therapy. So let's say you get on there with a group and you're listening to what other parents are saying, what they're struggling with, or you're saying, my child is doing this. What would you recommend? And you know, you can't even buy a session with a therapist for that.
Yeah, I was just going to say. So it's a live group therapy session.
Weekly group therapy. You can get
all the resources.
Yes, exactly.
And if you're not quite ready for that, look under the cushions in your couch and find the $1.
Yes.
And just test it out, because that's incredible. Mm-hmm. And so people that have questions, are you able to share those at the group session?
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay. It's specifically to help you individually.
And I'm assuming that's all virtual. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. It's virtual.
Mm-hmm. That's powerful. So wherever you are and wherever you may be, you can tap into these resources.
Right. You know, I think just because the world has changed so much and it's moving so quickly, we need to be aware of what our children are experiencing. Just in 2020, because of the isolation and the lockdown, suicide attempts have increased by 30%, which is heartbreaking. And so I'll tell you these statistics, because the reality is we will be affected by it in some way, right? Yeah. In Utah, suicide is the number one killer of our youth. Mm-hmm. In the United States, it is the number two killer of our youth, second only to accidental death. And the heartbreaking part about suicide is that it didn't have to happen. And that's my call, is like, let's be more involved. Life is busy, right? My youngest is soon to turn 20. She's in college. I don't have to be responsible for her online school. For you mamas that are out there slugging it out day by day, I feel for you. I would not have the capacity to do that. And yet, more important even than the day-to-day just making it through is the preservation of our children's mental wellness.
Yeah, it's so important. So you've wrote a book.
Yes.
And it's called Learning to Breathe Again.
Yes.
And so you, to be clear, you've lost not only your son to suicide, you've lost your dad too.
Exactly. And, you know, it was really heartbreaking. And I sort of, like I said, I went into a dark hole. I didn't talk about my father's suicide. The stigma around suicide, mental illness, the whole social concept, right? How we feel about that. And then when my son went there, if you had told me 20 months ago, Lark, you're going to be talking on, you know, radio shows and podcasts about your son's suicide, I would have said, oh, never, never, never. And yet I have just felt so called to help warn people that this is happening. And
help save lives.
Yes. And that's my intent, you know, is if I can help one parent so that they don't have to deal with this situation, if I can save one child and help them make a different decision, I've changed the world.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm doing.
Those starfish, you know, that story with the starfish throwing them back in the ocean. You know,
right. Because we don't realize how connected we are. We don't understand how important it is that we stick around. I've had three different coaches in my life through different times in my life. And each one of those three, at some point in their life, they came up with a plan. They were going to kill themselves. And yet something prevented them from following through. They moved on with their life. They got to a point in their life that they were available for me when I needed them to help me in my life. And that's what I tell people, are you are that person for someone else. And if you end it now, you won't be there when they are looking for you as that guide. And so we're just all interconnected.
So important to remember, because that's my quest in my life too, is from darkness, you can rise up and shine your light and help others through their darkness.
Right.
And that's why we're here.
Exactly. You know, it's not always easy. There are times when the grief just really gets me. And yet from sharing my son's story, it's helped me heal from my father's suicide, from my son's suicide. And I feel him so close. You know, as parents, we have often a child that is more difficult than the other children. And that was my son. He and I fought almost every day of our lives. It was just so hard. And yet through this process of sharing his story, I felt like we have healed our relationship. He wants me to share this story. He wants me to help other people find meaning in their life and a desire to go on.
That's neat. So you feel his guidance helping and pushing you along.
I really do. I feel him so close.
That's so special. I love that. I too have lost my husband to cancer. So I relate to that in a big way, that they're there, even though they're not. I had something that I wanted to bring up that I noticed on your page before is you said it's incorrect to say committed suicide. And right. I'm like ignorant about that. Like what? I mean, even telling a couple friends of mine about you coming on and being my guest, you know, I mean, and then I went and looked and I was like, uh-oh. Like, can you tell us why we shouldn't be saying committed suicide?
Right. No, and I said that about my dad and initially about my son too, until I started, you know, being engaged in that community. And what happens is committed suicide sounds like they committed a crime, right? Mm. And so if we can take away the word committed, that helps us be able to have more friendly conversations around the problem with suicide instead of treating them like they're criminals. This is my understanding, is that if someone overcomes the innate barrier to life, they kill themselves, right? They take their own life. They are not in their right mind. They are not in a place of a rational thinker. So for us to condemn them, anything like that, that is not appropriate. That's not right. They are not mentally sane, even if it's temporary, right? And so if we can look at them with compassion and say, died by suicide or took their own life, something like that versus that word committed, it will help us just look on these people with compassion.
With compassion. Okay. So committed is more of the stigma of associated with a crime.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So change it to
died by suicide,
took his life. Okay. That's so good to know, because we want to be sensitive to those going through it. And I know from my point of view, people just don't know what to say. So many people after, you know, a terminal cancer diagnosis and then watching him pass away and, and then people afterwards, you're just like, did you really just say that? I mean, you get some of the craziest comments, but we just don't know any better.
You know, and that's what, if you're a friend of someone who's going through a difficult time, you might not have to say anything. Just to be with them or to let them know that you're there and you're willing to help them in any way. You know, I had so many neighbors and friends who just let me know I'm available. And I knew they were available and would help me if I needed anything. And a lot of times just knowing that they were there, that's what I needed.
That's powerful, because sometimes in the grief course that I have coming up, there people don't understand, and we need to educate them and let them know that there's things they can do. So heaven forbid, if somebody is in your situation or knows somebody very close to them, how do you recommend letting them know that they're not alone? Because some people like don't want to go and bug them, and I think that's to a fault, where that then isolates the person going through the tragedy. So how do you recommend for those seeing somebody experiencing that?
So different people grieve in different ways. And just so people understand that, right? If you know someone who is going through it, respect kind of how they are going through it. Some people are like, hey, my child died, we're having an open house, come on over today, we're fine. For me and my family, we needed about 3 or 4 days of like no visitors, just really isolated as we were going through this deep emotional grief. If that's the case, just drop off a note, send a text, let people know I'm here for you, I'm praying for you, I'm thinking about you, whatever I can do for you, I am here. And for me, I love talking about my son. That may or may not be the case with everybody else, but know that that person still very much feels the presence of the one who has passed away. They like knowing that you didn't forget them, and it's okay to talk about them, right?
Yep. A lot of times people think they're walking on eggshells, like, oh no, I shouldn't say their name because it's going to bring back all this trauma. But it's like, no.
Yes. So it was interesting. I was visiting with an aunt yesterday. She lost a child, a stillborn, 47 years ago. And she was asking for some advice. She said, you know, I was celebrating his birthday. The child has been stillborn for 47 years. And she said, I need to find a therapist because my adult children tell me I need to go to therapy because I'm still so, you know, I just remember my child and I still kind of grieve for him. And I said, you're not the one with the problem. They're the ones with the problem.
Yep.
Because when you lose someone, especially a child, you think about them every day. And I just gave her permission. I'm like, you are fine to remember your child, to love your child, to think about your child. That's normal.
And from my point of view, grief is not something bad.
No.
Grief is a sign of love. Mm-hmm. So if you're grieving, congratulations. That means you know how to love.
Exactly.
I love the quote, like, how long are you going to be sad, or how long are you going to grieve? And it's like, how long are they dead? Like,
exactly.
It. You just learn to handle it in different ways. So,
and that's the one thing that, you know, I talk about in my book is this grief. I moved through the grief for my son fairly quickly because I had some prior experiences with my father. I knew I did not want to go into the dark hole. I also knew that I had this higher mission and calling to help people, you know, become educated on suicide prevention. I didn't have the luxury of wallowing. I realized that my family needed me too much. Mm-hmm. Whereas my other members of my family, they took longer times. Even some of my family members have not even been able to read my book because it's still so fresh and raw for them. And we have just had to learn to allow everyone to be in the stage of grief that they're in and love and accept and allow where they are.
I love that. And we all need to hear that. Love, accept, and allow. Those three words are powerful. And we can use that in every facet of our life right now.
Exactly.
And I'm so appreciative for you, Lark, coming on the show today and giving a voice to a very unsavory, difficult subject that is much needed to be talked about. So I applaud you for your courage, because I know
you. It's not been easy. And yet I just feel like that is what's getting me up in the morning and helping me to move forward in my life, that I have a why that's bigger than just my son's death. I can't change the past, but I can change the future.
Well, it's a purpose. Mm-hmm. When you find your purpose, why you're here.
Yep.
You can make miracles happen, and you are.
Thank you
so much. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Again, if you want to look at her incredible connections that she has on her website, we will put that up. It's larkdeangalley.com. It will be in the show notes as well. And that amazing therapist that she has connections with, all of that information is there. Plus your book. Mm-hmm. Is that available now?
So it comes out officially November 10th. It should be on Amazon very soon, but November 10th, it will be there. You can also get updates on it on my website if you want to, you know, make sure you don't miss that. But it is
6 days, girl.
Yes, I'm excited.
Okay, you guys, you can get it hot off the press in 6 days. Put a reminder on your cell phone. So, hey, Lark, thank you so much for being on the show today. I so appreciate you and your courage.
Thanks, Camille.
My heart to yours. And you guys, do we not love what she said? Allow people their space. Give them the respect to do things in their own ways and in their own time. And we can take that into so many different avenues in life. And I am so grateful for her courage. And let us all be more courageous. Thank you so much for watching. And don't forget, when life gets hard, to put on your big girl pants.